Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we're talking about Vampire Hunter D: Bloodlust.
Not to be confused by Vampire Hunter D: the movie.
Which, no, this is a movie.
No, it is a movie, but the Bloodlust. Like, I watched a different one at first.
Yes. This came out in the year 2000 versus the other one came out in the 80s. But before that, we were actually touched a little bit on football, a little bit on our past life experiences as working and how some of us have a constant midlife crisis on a daily basis for one reason or another. You want to catch a part of that wider conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you that bonus content. Vampire Hunter D: Bloodlust came out in the year 2000. Its producers for it were Anime and Movic. Studio for it was Madhouse. It's based off of a light novel. The genres are action, drama, fantasy, horror, romance, sci-fi, and vampire. And it ran for about an hour and 40 minutes.
Now, you mentioned that there was two different movies. One came out in 86, one came out into the 2000.
Yes.
This one I thought was the 86, and I thought the other one was 2000, simply because of the realistic style of genre. It flat out, this movie's good. I like it a lot. I'm not going to have too many criticisms I'm still going to have like one or two criticisms, but I liked it. There was suspense. There was not a lot of horror. However, there was some things that were horrifying. So it didn't make you scared, but it did make you a little disgusted at times.
Right.
It definitely had a creepy factor to it. A little bit of gore, a little bit of monster mash, if you will. And I just thought that everything I saw was really cool.
Okay. I thought it, you know, I could see that. I don't know how you got that the other one was a 2000. I mean, I saw the animation for it. Did not scream to me 2000. It screamed to me 70s. It screamed older.
It didn't scream good. That's for damn sure. But the anime style we see in this movie is very reminiscent of Ninja Scroll, if you will.
Okay.
So, but the other one, it looked more like Lupin the Third. It wasn't, and maybe not as cartoony, but it wasn't well drawn. It looked like people were more focused on the story and dialogue than they were the animation. And in the one we're supposed to watch, it felt like they were more focused on the animation than really anything else. It had a decent story, but I felt like portions were phoned in lieu of the visuals. I felt like they blew their budget on the visuals. You know, okay. What I mean?
Yeah, no, I get. I feel like they didn't blow any budget. I feel like they tried keeping it under budget purposefully.
You don't think it was? Well, see, when I say over budget,
I'm not saying it wasn't good. Okay. Right. I'm saying, like, the animation feel for me just wasn't there. It was a good animation. It looked great. It was clean, very clean. However, I feel like they could have done more.
Who got you? Who's paying you off? Because we spoke about this yesterday and we were in agreement that it was a great movie.
I didn't say it wasn't great. I didn't say it wasn't great. I said
backpedal.
No.
Backpedal so fast you go.
I said that I disagree with them being like over budget. It looked and felt old. It was great. It was a good movie. I just feel like they could have done more.
Like what?
Well, the animation could have been a lot better. Could have been updated so that way it didn't feel like it was a 80s, early 90s feel like how it did for me. I felt like this was kind of comparative to Ninja Scroll. However, I will say this. I'll tell you this right now, something I'm really happy about. There were no weird, awkward sex scenes.
See, that right there tells me that it's not in the early 86 or 90s. It's definitely past 2000.
No, it's not.
I mean, you typically do see
I will stop you right there. No, you don't. And I know this because of the amount of old anime I have seen. I know this. I can say that with great certainty.
All right. So I will correct myself just barely, because I'm not going to give too much on this one. But you do see the nudity you do see is tasteful and purposeful. It's not gratuitous in any fashion. It's for a purpose, and it's not rampant. There's two scenes in particular where you do see boobs, essentially, but not like massive amounts. And they deal with, I wouldn't even call this character the big and bad of the movie. It was more like a bad, but like a side character bad. Somebody who came in late and left early. You know what I mean? So, and when they're referencing her actions and what she does, there's a pile of dead bodies. And that's where you see kind of like blood-covered boobs right there. And then at the very, I'm not going to say the very end, but like when she revives kind of sorta, that's when you see her in her naked glory, let's call it. But it's
soaked in blood. And that's honestly the only real time that you see that happen. And
yeah, and there's a purpose for it. Like it's meaningful. It's not, oh, look, boom.
Well, and that's more or less the reason why it feels older than 2000 than it does anything else. Because there's usually a meaning and purpose for it. Now, this is based off of a novel, and the novel came out in the 80s. So they could have been paying homage to it like that.
That definitely makes sense. That definitely makes sense.
So...
yeah.
Yeah, that's why it definitely felt more of an 80s than a 2000-esque film. additionally, one thing that I really liked was that this was not a super dialogue heavy anime.
Bro. So me and my girl were driving and I clicked the link to play the video, right? Mm-hmm. And
a good few minutes goes by in the beginning before anything happens.
My intention was to find out if it was dubbed or subbed. And a few minutes goes by and I'm reading English. Like they've got brick English letters in both the sub and the dub. And I remember we get to our destination like 3 minutes since I started this thing. And she goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I just want to know what language it's in. They're not talking yet." And then like you see like a crap ton of people, you're like, "All right, cool, they're gonna talk." No, it's tension. It's tension's
great
mounting. It is, but like it's tensing me up because I'm like, I'm waiting for words and there's no words. They did a phenomenal job if that was their intention. However, I was trying to watch something. I was trying to like gain information, glean stuff, and I'm just like, I'm getting more tense every step our main character is making, and like other characters are like flinching. Like, oh, and you're like, they do that with the same language, regardless. The noises they're making are, and then like 4 minutes, 28 seconds in, they finally say something. And my brain was waiting for so long for that to happen. It didn't register if it was subtitles or English. I had to snap back to it and like look at the screen because my ears were not helping.
Well,
but when I saw a caption, I was like, all right, this is subtitles.
Well, that's why it's so great. That's why that it is honestly really, really good. Or I feel like this movie was really, really good is because it relied on the visuals. It relied on the tension. And when there was something being said, it wasn't always, I'm not going to say 100% of the time, but a majority of the time, it had purpose or meaning. Like, there was meaningful dialogue there.
Yes, I agree with that.
Although, some of the dialogue that did happen made me question whether or not I wanted to try and delve deeper into it, because I had way more questions about some of what I saw than what was given answers to, okay?
Yo, this makes me think there's a series behind this. I, like, it would be like if I watched Full Metal Alchemist, the movie. I'd be like, I feel like there's some things that are missing here. We could definitely, like, figure some out. And then you've got the Full Metal Alchemist, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood series to watch. You're like, okay, I feel like that's what's going on here.
Well,
because
there are light novels and then there are mangas for it. So
are there only movies?
Yep, just two.
Interesting. Because I feel like this would be a rock solid anime. Even now.
Right? Even if they kept the animation style, I feel like it'd still be rock solid.
Especially if they kept the animation style. It would be unique. It would be one of, it would be, I'm not going to say revolutionary because it's not, but I would say it would be unique enough and the story is unique enough that I feel like if it was released in the same season that had something like, I was reincarnated as a slime. I don't think it could hold its own against titles such as Shield Hero. If it was on the same day, I have a feeling it would lose out. However, if it was released in that same batch, it would feel like it belonged. So, like, it would be that kind of quality and just so much good stuff. And the fact that our main character is a half-blood, half-vampire, half-human, or a Damphir, which... In the English version, did you watch English or subtitle?
I watched subbed, and they were saying Dampier.
Okay.
D-H-A-M-P-I-R. Dampier.
Okay. Now, in the English one, they had an L to that, Damphir. And I couldn't figure out why.
Probably because whoever was voicing the character had a hard time doing it. Or they were trying to fill in the extra space for it. I don't know. Take your pick.
Possibly. I mean, it was, we noticed it. My girl and I, she's a huge vampire buff. Anything deal with horror, she's into. She even did a podcast for a while of a horror pod. But she's definitely into it. And she goes, that's not how it's pronounced. That's not what you're supposed to do. And I could just sit back and I couldn't contest it. It definitely wasn't a shiny vampire, although it looked like it could have been.
He was pasty. That is for sure. But, you know, at the same time, they also made the other vampires look pasty. And to their credit, you would not have a wonderful suntan if you never saw the light of day. All right.
He saw the light of day.
He did. Now, he can't. Granted, he can get sick from being in it too long.
Yes, that was awesome.
But that does not mean that he was going to have a wonderful suntan either, because obviously, in case you didn't notice, he was covered up pretty well.
Yeah. Now, what I liked, I got a question. You might know this better than I do. I feel like I know the answer. I feel like the answer was given, and I feel like it should be obvious. The entity in this man's hand, was it a vampire? A vampire lord? A soul of a wretched that was trying to take over his body? Like, there's so many questions as to what this thing in his hand was. I felt like it was probably related to him or a relative of some kind that sacrificed their life. I don't know. And it's frustrating because I want to.
So, I don't know. Sorry to disappoint you.
I don't think you are. I was going to be like, you dick, you got my hopes up for nothing.
No, all I know is that it was a being or creature or whatever that has taken residency up in the left hand. And I don't know much beyond that. I mean, at least that's what I've picked up from the what small fragments of information I have seen in the movie from their discussions. So,
speaking of our main character and our main character, let's call them associates. The horses, are they legitimate horses or are they machines? I assumed they were machines. However, the noble vampire, when he was running, was watering his horses.
Well, that and machines don't have blood and organs when
he went through the
X-ray. When
that's right.
Vampire under the horse fell to its death. I feel like that it's horses. It's just not the horses that we know. But then again, we also know that we don't have a bunch of vampires that have taken over the world and they are and not
somehow bit of the vampire horse and made it that way.
Right. So we don't know. I don't know. I know nothing.
Huh. I had a question on the tip of my tongue and you just kind of blew it away with the I have nothing remark.
It's what I do. I blow everything away all the time because of how awesome I am. What's interesting, though, is that you are kind of hinted at or told a little bit about how vampires like Vampire D, Hunter D is created, how they're made.
Yeah.
Which is good. But also at the same time, you're told or shown that we apparently have a colony or people living up in space on a space station that's just total wrecked and from the beginning.
Maybe.
That, I mean, they don't say one way or the other. They just kind of reference like, hey, they are no longer there, or they could be there, or this or that, or anything else. And it's, well, could I get a little bit of, could I get some information on this, please? Could I get, you know, some details?
Yeah.
Because that'd be great.
It would be way more than great. It would be almost like they're doing what we want them to do. Alas, it is never that easy.
Never is. Never is. But you know what? That's okay. I will accept it. Because you know what else?
What?
They also, at the same time, introduced a bunch of other characters or demons or ghouls, or I don't know exactly what you would call them. You know, that entire town or city that mutants, I guess you would say.
See, I assumed they were more like gypsies. You know what I mean? I thought they were more a ramshackle group, a circus, if you will, a family of misfits. Because it said that the leader, the leader who looked like the little puppet from Saw mentioned that they were hired for $1 million way back in the day. And I'm thinking $1 million, that's not a lot now. I mean, to me and you probably, but there's way more millionaires now than there ever were. If someone paid me $1 million back in the Rockefeller days to be loyal for the rest of eternity, I feel like that would be just a little bit of a raw deal. You know, because money deflates in value. And even though I'm living pretty right now, like $1 million, you know, 45 years from now, I might be a millionaire. You might be a millionaire by that time, God willing. But or worst case scenario, if we're both millionaires, it's because inflation screwed us over. But doing it for the money is a bad investment, in my opinion. And they didn't seem stupid. They seemed incredibly talented as far as fighting goes, and their abilities were extremely unique. There was a shadow dude that lurked in the shadow. There was, I don't know what you want to call her, but like the T-10,000 or T-1000.
Yeah, and then you had something that was kind of to the liking of a werewolf, but
I would call him an alpha werewolf because his stomach was like, it looked like the original demon.
I don't know, but it's just there's no like real comparison that you can do that would encompass everything, that would encompass them all. And
that's why I kind of said gypsy or circus, because it looks like a family of convenience rather than of blood.
My question is, how the hell they got like that?
They're paid $1 million.
Pay me $1 million and I could live like that for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
That's okay though. I don't know. I'll tell you something that I have a problem with for this movie, aside from some of the other things we've talked about.
Okay, like what?
So you know the brothers, the Marcus brothers or whatever they're called?
I think so.
So, you know, yeah. The cross on the face for one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So you have the blonde haired girl. She has some problems. Yep. Then you have Borgoff, which is essentially the leader with a headband and a complex, right?
Yeah, an ego. Massive ego.
That has a pull string elbow, a crossbow on his wrist that he has to pull back to shoot, right? I mean, like, yeah. I'm not misinterpreting. Like, that's how it looked, correct? I'm not mistaken.
I agree.
How the hell can he shoot that many arrows that quickly at one time and only move his arm just like once? Just like hundreds of thousands accurate. Hell, I want to know how homeboy can not only shoot an arrow a crazy, insane long distance, but also have it curve around a tree over a hill to his destination.
Heat seeking silver bullet. I got nothing else other than that.
All right. That works. I'll take it.
I mean, it's the only thing I can think of.
Okay.
You're speechless. That's impressive.
I mean, I wish I had more to really say on that, but you know, it was just kind of boggled my mind. It in how he was able to magically shoot off so many arrows. That looked like something out of, I don't know, out of medieval times, where you would have hundreds of archers shooting arrows that would blacken out the sky.
300 reference. I like it.
Well, it's actually, it's not a 300.
Fight in the shed.
It's not a 300 reference. That's actually a reference to what actually happened. So, like, well, with some embellishing.
Besides the point. Embellishing, yeah.
Beside the point, or what purpose did the crosses actually serve? Because they were everywhere. Everyone had them on them. And when they were around vampires, they just got crushed, damaged, melted, what have you.
I don't understand that at all. At all. But I'll just take it for convenience sake. I'll just assume that it's correct because I want it to be.
Okay.
I'm thinking faith had a lot to do with it, and they weren't really faithful people. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I think they were using a lot of UV rays, which is why originally they kind of hurt or shocked the vampires. But I don't think the symbolism of a light cross did anything. Because remember, the guy, the big brother with the cross on his face, a demon went in his shadow, no problem, and killed him like that.
Well, it's not that it was a demon. It was one of those mutants or gypsies that you called them that did it. It's not that it's a demon. And I don't know. I wish I had more information about the world. And unfortunately, I didn't. I unfortunately did not read the books or delve into any of the information for it. So I cannot go into it. I cannot open or broaden my understanding for it, sadly.
There were so many things that had potential. And in a series, I feel like you could expand on a lot. Like you were mentioning the rapid fire, a training arc where he learns how to do that from a master would be perfect rather than just, I'm a badass asshole and I'm going to rain down like thousands of arrows with no thought as to the cost of the arrows.
Well, here's the thing, right? You do see him actually start picking up the arrows that he shot. So I could only assume after he rains fire, rains silvery arrow death upon his enemies, he then has to go and pick them all up.
Yeah. Well, what did you think? I'm curious. And not necessarily in their final hurrah when they're crossing the bridge. How awesome was that with the explosions? I know I'm jumping around a lot, but I think I can bring it back to make sense. What?
Are you talking explosions or explosion?
There were multiple bombs. I think they all went off. There was two stages. They hit the first one, and then the second one was going to blow the rest of them up. So technically explosions. But yeah, they all blew up at the same time. So
yeah, so there was only one that blew up, and then the rest of them blew up, but they all blew up in the water.
Yes.
Yes. So what's your question, though?
My question was, you saw the wolf dude fall from the height, land in the water. Did he transform in the water and then climb and then just chuck him into the water from underneath the bridge? The bombs, I mean, or?
Yeah, because that's what he was doing. He was trying to go over the bridge because, in case you forgot, he actually saw all the bombs there. So he got rid of them before he, okay. You know, which, whatever, beast stomach or whatever.
Yeah, beast stomach or whatever. I just thought that when, what? Oh, sorry. I just thought that when Odude got thrown over the thing, nothing really saved the crew. The silver arrows didn't do anything. The bombs, which I imagine were filled with holy explosives, if we're staying on track, they didn't really do much of anything. Like all the weaponry, except for a sword, did not do much damage.
Okay.
So why use them at all? They're not even hindering people.
Well, magic. Or better yet, plot armor. Plot explosives. There we go.
It's explosion.
They're plot armor. Pure and simple. I mean, like, honestly, that's all it is plot armor.
Well, I'm kind of curious. What do you think about the vampire who supposedly never ate humans?
We know that's not true.
He did eat the humans, but what do you think about it when he took his hiatus? When he's like, I mustn't anymore for the sake of my love.
Well, it wasn't even because of that. It's just something he just typically doesn't do. And he did that anyways. Because they pissed him off. Not necessarily because he wanted to. It's just they pissed him off to no end. So I know this is definitely going to be one of our shorter ones, but I honestly don't really have too much more I can say on it.
Okay.
By all means.
I got a little bit more. The technology of the entire world. We touched on it at the very beginning of the conversation where the vampires had like a space station, right? That was broken up and all that stuff. How come if Camilla, who was a woman who was on par with a vampire king, I guess, if she said that every house that held a vampire, which is basically the cathedrals that they live in, had a spaceship, and now there's so regrettably few that, you know, they're left to disrepair. Does that mean they all flew up to the space station and just didn't come back down?
Possibly.
What, in your opinion, is more horrifying?
A space station. Not having my answers.
Oh, no, I was going to say a space station filled with really hungry vampires, because eventually you do give in. And I imagine the bloodlust is insatiable. Having a castle, a ship full of hungry vampires who have not eaten in far too long with no way to get back down to Earth, or getting up there and no one's there.
That is a great question. I'm going to say that the most horrifying aspect would be both. You're either up there, it's equally horrifying, and allow me to tell you why I think it's equally horrifying. One, if you get up there and no one else is up there and it's just you, you're SOL. It's just you.
Well, beyond that, what happened?
Get up. Hang on. If you get up there and they are up there and they are driven crazy with bloodlust, who's to say that they did not start eating on each other?
Ooh. And you just came up with a working rocket. Guess what's getting filled up to the brim and sent back down to a buffet?
Now, we don't know if it can come back down. We don't know where it's even going.
You know, with the level of technology, with the level of technology we see there, I imagine they're at least Elon Musk level.
I doubt it.
The ship should be able to return no issue.
I doubt it. All right. So, aside from vampires feasting on other vampires, or being in solitude for the rest of your days, both of which are honestly horrifying prospects, on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
I'm giving it an 8. It would be a 9 if it had a series. Okay. But I'm giving it an 8 because I would recommend this to other people. I would watch it again just to try to pick up on the stuff I missed off, because you know there's some stuff you missed off on.
Yeah.
And yeah, 8. What about you?
I can't go an 8. I'm going to go 9 7. 9
and 10 are available.
No, I'm going 7. Going 7. Why? Well, why'd you give it an 8? I mean, I can't justify going with an 8 simply because when we, you know, have so many questions that are left unanswered, so much information that is just out there waiting to be plucked that I was not fed. I need to be spoon fed my information, sir. And that is why. Or part of the reason, aside from the other ones that I've obviously talked about since then. But it's a good show or movie, rather. I would recommend it to others. It is well worth the watch. There is no denying that.
I agree.
So next week is actually neither one of our choices. It's actually something that we're being told that we should watch in the spirit of Halloween by Jeb from our just Discord server, and it is called Junji Ito Collection. It's a collection of hair-raising stories from the Jiro Ito Masterpiece Collection and fragments of horror, the likes of which we have never seen before, supposedly. So, with the genres of horror and psychological, how could I not be eagerly anticipating this?
You're being mean. That's what you are. You're just being mean.
No, not at all. I think it'll be wonderful.
I hope so. I'll need to watch it with somebody because I don't do horror very well.
That's all right. Hey, if you get scared, feel free to just grab onto my arm. It's okay.
But you're so far away, Senpai. Notice me.
It's all right. I'll be there in spirit.
Man.
That's all the time that we have for today. I hope you enjoyed this week's choice. Hopefully you enjoy next week's choice if you have seen it. Or if you haven't seen it, just let us know what you thought of it after you've seen it. And if we missed something, didn't cover something, didn't do something right, or if you want to impart onto us some wonderful information or answer some of our wonderful questions about this week's choice, feel free to reach out to us, featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com, at Those Anime Guys on Twitter, Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook. We are always hanging out in Discord. Feel free to message us in there. The link for that's going to be in the show notes. Want to buy some merch? shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. It'll help support us and you get to deck yourself out in some swanky merch. Or support us on Patreon, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. Until next time, I'm Jack.
And I'm Rick. And hopefully you'll stay unbitten in this spooky season with us. And I'm Rick. And hopefully you'll stay unbitten in this Halloween season with us. Later.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.